Oakland has the fifth busiest port in the country. It supports at least 50,000 jobs in Northern California, making it one of the Bay Area's biggest economic engines. According to the Port of Oakland, economic development is its primary driver. But truck drivers who make a living running goods to and from the port say deteriorating working conditions are cutting into their bottom line. Shani Aviram reports.
It's 5:45 a.m. when I make my way to the port. It's still dark out, and the streets of West Oakland are quiet and empty. But as I get closer to the ramp on Adeline and 7th, a steady stream of semi-trucks is piling up along the port's roads.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Drivers are sitting in their parked trucks, drinking coffee, listening to the radio, biding their time.
So I was wondering, how long have you been waiting in line this morning?
Oh, right here, I've come in since like 4 o'clock.
Do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions about the line?
The line? Yeah, it's always long line. I was here around 4:45.
They're waiting to get into one of the port's 7 terminals to pick up a container that could carry anything from the beans for the coffee you drink in the morning to the iPod you're listening to on the way to work.
How long have you been waiting in line this morning?
Oh, well, it doesn't open till 7. So we get in line about 4:45, 5 o'clock.
That's a full 2.5 hours before the port even opens.
Why do you come so early?
Because the line just gets longer and longer.
What already seems like an endless line of trucks has been forming for several hours.
This is my house. Yeah, my second home. I probably spend more time in this truck than I do at home.
That's Carlos, a longtime trucker at the port. He says that every morning his wheels start rolling at 4 a.m. and they don't stop until late in the afternoon. For the most part, Carlos isn't rolling down the open highway. Most of the day, he is inching his way in and out of the terminals.
There's one line on this direction and there's another one on the other direction. They're both going into the same terminal. You're probably looking at about 100 trucks out here in the street alone.
Hundreds of trucks, engines idling, waiting for hours, which means there's no time for bathroom breaks.
If you see on the side of the road, there's probably pee bottles. Because a lot of these drivers will have to release themselves. And sometimes they'll use, you know, like grocery bags and do their necessities there and then just throw them out the window or throw them inside the port. Because there's no restrooms out here.
But the drivers wait because they are paid by the load, not by the hour. It can take half a day sometimes to pick up and deliver a single load.
This is the fast part. After you get in there, I wish you could go in there so you would see how it is. In there, it's chaos.
Inside the terminals, the lines get even worse. Semi-trucks jockey for position, cutting each other off. Sometimes there's no one available to load or unload the cargo, and drivers are prohibited from doing it themselves. All they can do is pick up a container and a chassis. A chassis is the back end of the truck that holds the container. And then they hit the road as fast as they can. But sometimes, drivers say they get stuck with faulty equipment.
Yeah, if the chassis is bad, you have to go through what they call roadability, where they inspect the chassis. But sometimes the lines are so bad at the roadability that if everybody would go through roadability, you would never get out of there.
Roadability is the place where the drivers go to get the chassis fixed so that they'll be safe. The chassis are owned by the terminals, but drivers are the ones who are responsible for repairs. They don't get paid for that time, so they don't always do it. And that means unsafe trucks can hit the roads. Carlos, who doesn't want to use his real name for fear of retaliation, has been working the port for almost 3 decades. He says that in the past, things were different. Drivers didn't used to have to wait in notoriously long lines that prevent them from taking needed breaks.
And like before, you would go in and out. You wouldn't see the signs here.
But over the past 10 years, as the economy slowed to a crawl, the port's operations have slowed down with it.
And yet what we see, just because of the dynamics of the economy, is that there's less volume for people to handle. And so we have a lot of truckers out there that probably don't have enough business. And that's certainly a challenge that we're all plagued by right now.
That's Isaac Koss-Reed, Director of External Affairs at the Port of Oakland.
Well, but most people, when they say the port, they're referring to the docks. And we don't control the docks, right?
He says the port has been working hard with drivers to improve working conditions, but the port has no control over how terminal operators work with truckers.
We have ground leases with terminal operators. The terminal operators are 7 independent private companies. They control their own terminals. They make their own independent business decisions.
Here's how the system works. The port is essentially the landlord. The terminals are independently operated. They contract with middlemen trucking companies who hire drivers. And that's the heart of the battle. 80% of drivers are classified as self-employed, independent contractors. But labor advocates say they're really employees because they have no control over the rates they charge or the hours they work. Carlos says he doesn't have much control over his business at all.
Because they have control of what you do, when you do it, where you go, when to go, how much they're going to pay you, how they're going to pay you, if they're going to pay you. So everything's controlled by the company.
Brooke Anderson is an organizer with the East Bay Alliance for a Sustainable Economy. According to Anderson, the drivers are given a contract by a trucking company that brokers between the drivers and a cargo owner. For instance, Walmart.
So the contractors don't set their rates, right? Like, if my toilet broke and I called a plumber, like, I wouldn't tell him how much I was going to pay him. Like, he would set the rates, and he advertises and can go work for multiple folks.
But that's not how it works for most drivers. The trucking company offers the driver a set rate, and the driver can either take it or leave it. Anderson says that's why companies contract more drivers than they need.
So that if any of the drivers say, hey, none of us are going to take a load for this, you know, the companies like to say, well, there's, you know, 10 guys behind you that would happily, you know, feed their family for $10 less, right?
To illustrate her point, Anderson gestures at a sign that one of the trucking companies recently put up.
So BTT, see where it says, like, they're trying to get hire folks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we just talked to a driver today who has no work today because BTT has no work. And yet they have, like, signs up being like, hey, we're hiring drivers, right?
Mm-hmm. Carlos usually drops off one container in the morning, and by the afternoon, he'll be back in line at the port.
I might get lucky and I might get in here twice. Usually it's just one time.
But if the terminals get backed up, he might not get a second loadout before the terminal gates close for the day.
There's been times when I've been in here for 6 hours waiting to get a load, and then at 4:30 they'll come around with that truck, you know, with the lights on top of it, and they'll say, okay, everybody out, and they'll just kick us out. Even though we spend all day waiting for a load, they don't care. I guess we're just nothing to them.
Carlos says he has witnessed firsthand how the industry changed drastically over the past 20 years.
When I started, it was good. I mean, you could make money. You didn't have to work as hard. And you had more time to spend with the family.
But over time, trucking companies competed for business by pushing the drivers' wages down. Carlos says he hasn't seen a pay raise in 15 years, but his expenses have skyrocketed. He has to maintain his truck and adapt it to meet new and expensive environmental regulations. He says it's almost impossible to make ends meet.
We're taking less money home. I had to declare bankruptcy. I almost lost my house. There were times when we didn't have enough money just to get food for the family.
After maintenance costs, fuel, and the expense of complying with new environmental standards, Carlos says he brings in at the most $23,000 a year.
And I would see these proud, strong men come in here and break down because they were devastated, didn't know what to do, how they're going to support their families.
Valerie Lappin is an organizer with the Coalition for Clean and Safe Ports, 80 organizations that call for better working conditions for drivers and clean air standards for the community around the port. She explains that these problems all started with deregulation in the 1980s.
There were people even like Ralph Nader, a consumer advocate, who was saying that this would be good. It would create more competition. Prices would come down. That was sort of the thinking. But at the time, that was kind of the argument, that it would be better for consumers. Nobody thought through what the ramifications would be.
Labor activists say the solution is to have trucking companies hire drivers as employees and pay them an hourly wage. They are pushing for the passage of AB 950, a bill that would mandate the employment of truck drivers at the port.
It's a shakedown. It's an extortion.
Bill Abudi is president of AB Trucking.
A lot of this organizing drive, it's really, I mean, you look back at the creation of the union movement back in the 30s where the employers were really bad and there was some big conglomerate trucking companies and they were very abusive. But that role is being reversed and the workers are being hurt because of that. Because it's not now about the rights of the worker. It's about how many billions are in this fund that Mr. Hoffa controls. And he can do whatever the hell he wants with it. Does he care about his membership? Show it by making sure that Oakland thrives and work with the employers.
Abudi opposes AB 950 and says drivers should have the freedom to choose how they wish to work. Abudi started out as an independent owner-operator and eventually grew his business into a small fleet of trucks.
If I don't want to work for you, why should I work for you? But yeah, so it's a choice. It's a choice issue. And it's really hard to understand unless you come from a place that doesn't give you the choice. And a lot of us here at the port are here from third world countries, and we understand not having a choice. And we appreciate the American system and having that choice. And we will fight to make sure that everybody has that choice.
He says that the coalition's demand for companies to hire drivers as employees is ultimately asking for trouble.
The business climate here is not good at all, and it's because of the heavy organizing. Employers are not, you know, the enemy, and that's what they try and portray. If you own a business, you're the enemy.
Abudi says the coalition's agenda is to go after small businesses. He says that would curb economic growth in Oakland. It's almost 4:30 in the afternoon, and the line is no shorter than it was 2 hours ago.
Are you going to do another load today?
No, there's no way. You can't do it.
The terminals are about to close. If drivers haven't picked up their last load for the day before the gates shut, they just have to wait in line again tomorrow. Carlos is heading back to his home in the Central Valley. That means he just put in a 12-hour day. And, he says, tomorrow he'll be back on the road at 4 a.m. trying to get the best place in another long line. For Cross Currents, I'm Shani Aviram.